Yo, Jay, can we get some ratchet one time? Look, I don't want to talk. How you try and press the kid and really you was soft. All you know is capping, homie, you don't know the law. Pedal to the metal, you ain't catching me.
Tell me, I want to know.
Okay, I'll tell you, I'll tell your son, I'll tell Heather.
More of you the daddy.
Okay.
You know how many times I've heard that on my show? You know what I say to it all the time? I'm the father of some, but not many.
Okay.
Sorry, that's what I just told a chick that the other day. No, down here in Jamaica, that same shit.
Okay.
I copied that. I got that from my hero, Maury. He's one of my biggest one of my big role models in life.
That's awesome. So awesome.
Anyways, folks. MCU's Bleeding Edge in the house. What's up? What's good? Dune 2021 review. Sorry about the reshuffle. We swapped Dune 2021 out for the new in theaters, Dune Part 2, and that's on me. But we're here to review it live stream-wise. We're waiting on Mr. Time Cop Time Lord to time travel over into our dimension or whatever, whatnot, as usual. We've got Johnny Fuente coming on to join us, an old friend from the show. Cybernet Shark, my co-host, is the panel as of right now. How are you, sir?
Oh, fantastic. How are you, sir?
Oh, wonderful, sir. Wonderful. As I explained to you earlier, I will get on the MCU's Bleeding Edge t-shirts when I get back to Florida. I promise, sir. I'm going to get right on it. And there he is right there. What's up, Mr. Johnny Fuente? Dead silence. Uh-oh. That's not good. Johnny, if you're there, brother, we're happy to see you. There he is.
Perfect. You hear us? I hear you guys. I just had to switch some audio together.
That's fine, Johnny. It's good to see you again, brother. Long time no see.
Yeah, of course.
Cyber, now you're not alone on the panel anymore, brother. How about that?
Thank God.
Weren't others supposed to be joining too?
Andre the Pop Culture guy is coming on, sir, but you never know with him. He could be time traveling to the year 2077 to go rub Aretha Franklin's feet or something tonight. We don't know with him. You know what I'm saying? He's very elusive, those time travelers, right? You haven't really met Andres. I think the last time you came on, he had just started coming on the shows.
Gotcha.
You did a DC animated with him before, I think, and you did some Star Wars with him before.
Oh, I think so.
You've met Andreas before, but he'll be on, yeah. So anyways, Mr. Jonathan Fuentes, of course, comes from Fuente Talk from Johnny Fuente. How's everything going with you, you know, at law school and everything and whatnot, Johnny? And how's everything going with the pod?
Oh, everything's going good with the pod. Just ended up recording my last episode for this – not last episode, but the latest episode for this upcoming Sunday, and it's about – web series and how they've evolved. So I got inspired since the closure announcement of Rooster Teeth. So I talked about Rooster Teeth Studios, Team Four Star, Glitch Studios, and many others that have basically come up in the world of animated web series. Last week's episode, I talked about video game closures and why they are happening. So just a little bit of everything.
Hey, Jocelyn, it's good to see you, hon. And Jocelyn, just so you know, we are playing drinking games tonight. Johnny, don't worry about the drinking games. You don't have to, since I didn't have a chance to even explain them to you, you don't have to be concerned about it, but you are participating because basically the way our drinking games work here, folks, is they're based off of keywords. Our keywords for tonight are the word Dune, any form of Paul Atreides, whether it be Paul, and of course I don't have to drink yet because I'm just explaining the words, but it's game time as soon as I get done with this. Any version of Paul Atreides, whether it be Paul Atreides, whatever, however you want to say it. And then any of when he decides to show up, any of even though we mentioned it anyway when he's not here, any of Mr. Andre's Pop Culture Guy's many monikers, whether it be Time Cop, Time Lord, Time Star, whatever the fuck, you never know. He's got new ones every other week. So y'all know which ones I'm talking about. Feel free to get in the comment section and fuck with it. Ball hits for you, Jocelyn. No problem with that. I'll be joining you shortly here in a minute. I promise. So drinking game is now on. I've got my drinks stacked up. I wish I had a camera. I'd show you guys. I'm ready to rock and roll. I've got three of them lined up, ready to rock. Cyber, I hope you're ready. concerned that we're reviewing Dune? Oh, there you go. Look, it's already on. Drink, sir.
Sadly, I do not have any drinks in my house, so I will be staying sober.
Johnny, next time you come on, I'll warn you next time and actually let you know we're doing the drinking game. You're abstained. You're abstained from this show. So basically, until we get Andres on here, I just want to start off by just asking you guys just this, you know, a very simple opening question. Take as much time as you want. I'll start with you, Johnny. First time you saw Dune, you know, your thoughts off the initial watch, and then how many times have you seen it?
So I've seen it a couple times now, just the first time, just trying to understand what it was, and the second time for enjoyment. I've actually never read the books, or I have never seen the original movie that came out in the 80s. So I was definitely coming into this movie blind, but I thought it was good. I honestly thought it was a really good idea for the director to split the first book into two parts, especially since the first movie is basically build up. Getting to know the characters, getting to know the lore and all this stuff in a beautiful way. Honestly, I wish other directors have taken this route as well, instead of trying to cram everything in the first movie, at least building up to what we expect. And he did it perfectly.
Okay. Cyber, same question to you, sir.
Let's see. I've seen it probably maybe two or three times now. Maybe four. I think today was fourth. Yeah, fourth. Fourth time I've seen it. Just like Fuentes, I had never read the books. I knew about the books. I knew about the original 1984 Dune. I had actually just watched the original Dune prior to this coming out in 2021. So I had seen that one already and knew what Dune was and pretty much knew the kind of the structure of what Dune was about. And, you know, coming in, watching it again, it was kind of like just kind of a refresher course of remembering, you know, from, you know, 3 years ago when this released for the first time, kind of just the last time I watched it was probably at least a year and a half ago. So, you know, refresher course. And just reiterating, I really love Timothy Chalamet in this. I really enjoyed, you know, Javier Bardem, Oscar Isaacs, Josh Brolin.
Ensemble cast.
Yeah, a great ensemble cast. And all of them did a really good job. And I really enjoyed the film. So looking forward to talking more about it.
The spice is already flowing, Facebook user. I promise. Anyways, as I explained to Cyber, today was my first actual, like, full, complete watch of it. I watched it once before and didn't finish it. And I never read the book either, Johnny. But I've actually talked to the YouTuber before, well, not actually, about collaboration. His name is Quinn, from Quinn's Ideas. I learned all the lore through him. And his big lore videos that he does and whatnot, these long, you know, these real long-winded, you know, tutorial videos he does of the novels. And he did this first version is really accurate to the book. It really is. It's really well done, as well as it can be. And I'm really looking forward to seeing part two. But I'm going to go ahead and play the first trailer to kind of, you know, get us started, you know, before we get into the film. And I'm not going to break the movie down scene to scene. It's a long movie. What I'm basically going to do is I'm just going to read, you know, from the Wikipedia synopsis of the film, I'm going to read sections. Then I'm just going to kind of question you guys off that and whatnot and let you guys fill in the gaps off that. But let me go ahead and drop this first trailer. Put your hand in the box. Shit. I don't think so. Not with that Gam Jabara on my neck. I don't think I want all that shit. I hate the whole Facebook user thing. But anyways, we appreciate the comments. All right, let me drop this trailer.
There's something happening to me. There's something awakening in my mind. I can't control it.
What did you see?
Paul.
There's a crusade coming.
Do you often dream things that happen just as you dream them?
Yes.
The test is simple. Remove your hand from the box, and you die.
What's in the box?
Pain. You inherit too much power. You have proven you can rule yourself.
That shot of Caladan is fucking awesome.
Now you must learn to rule others. Something none of your ancestors learned.
My father rules an entire planet.
He's losing it.
He's getting a richer one.
He'll lose that one too. Arrakis is a death trap.
Kill him.
This is an extermination. They're picking my family off one by one.
Let's fight like demons.
An animal caught in a trap will gnaw off its own leg to escape. What will you do?
I know you.
One day, the legend will be born. All of civilization depends on it.
The future. I can see it. I must not fear. Fear is the mind killer.
My Lord Duke.
Where the fear is gone, only I will remain.
Go, go, go!
That's so dope because that's the part where, like, if you don't know the lore, that same word doesn't eat Paul and his mother because of, like, he is the Kisach Cataract, whatever, whatnot, the fuck it is. You know what I'm saying? Whatnot, everything, right? And there's something within the sandworms that they can sense in him. That's why his son becomes the god worm or whatever, whatnot, everything, and bonds with the sandworms later on. In the novel. Sorry about that. You're right, Johnny. But shout out, Andrew. I'm sorry I didn't realize that was you as Facebook user and whatnot and everything. It's good to see you, brother. May have already lost you by now, but thanks for jumping in. How's it going, sir? What's up, Mr. Andre's pop culture guy?
Oh, pretty good. Excited to talk about this movie. Let's do it.
Do you have your coffee or your water ready? Because we are, I'm going to, again, this is going to be a non-drinking situation because we are drinking game. Johnny's excluded because I didn't let him know. But we are, the drinking words tonight are any combination of Paul Atreides, the word Dune, and any of your monikers, as usual. There you go. Get your water ready. Get your coffee.
Wait, my monikers? You're telling me that Time Lord?
Your
time
monikers. Yeah. Oh, that's fucked up because now you just literally forced us to have to drink three fucking times. See, Johnny, you didn't know. You haven't been out a long time. You didn't know that Andres is now has all these different, labels going on or whatever, whatnot, titles.
Yeah.
But the better question is, who's your favorite Time Lord?
Oh.
Now you just made us drink again. That's not fair, Johnny. I don't appreciate that, bro.
I'm the 12th. So just let you
really?
Know.
Really? Okay, not bad. Not
just
bad.
Just as I lined up the drinks doesn't mean I don't want to drink all of them all in one shot.
Peter Capaldi was not a bad Time Lord, although I do like David Tennant. He was the best Time Lord.
Oh, I mean, like I cannot, complain about the 10th, but the 12th was my first Doctor, got me into Doctor Who. So it's
10th for me. He was the Time Lord that got me.
All right. All right, guys, check it out. Start off with a review. I'm going to read this. I'm going to go ahead and summarize a little bit of this plot right here. And then I'm going to work my questions to the panel off that. So basically, in the distant future, Duke Leto Atreides, ruler of the planet Caladan, who is really well shot. They have great shots of that in the trailer, is assigned by the Padishah Emperor, Shaddam, the fourth, to replace, thank you very much, Johnny, to replace Baron Vladimir Harkonnen as the fief holder of Arrakis, a harsh desert planet and sole source of spice, a valuable psychotropic substance that imparts heightened vitality and awareness. Spice is key to interstellar travel, giving Space and Guild navigators the ability to guide starships to traverse space instantaneously and safely. Shaddam plots for House Harkonnen to retake Arrakis, secretly aided by his Sardaukar troops, and destroy House Atreides. Leto is suspicious of the Emperor, but weighs the risks against the power of controlling Arrakis and making an alliance with its mysterious natives, the Fremen. Now, and I'll keep reading because I'm still going to have to do some scene and seed to break this down, but Leto's concubine, Lady Jessica, is an acolyte of the Bene Gesserit, an exclusive sisterhood whose members possess advanced physical and mental abilities. As part of their centuries-long breeding program, they instructed her to bear a daughter, whose son would become the Kisach Haderach, a Bene Gesserit and messianic superbeing with the clairvoyance necessary to guide humanity to a better future. She disobeyed and bore a son, Paul. Oh, there you go. Who was trained by Leto's aides. That's a drink on that one, Cyber. Duncan Idaho. Very well played. Gunny Halleck. The Soup Doctor, Wellington Yui. And the Mentat, Thier Hoet. Jessica teaches him Bene Gesserit disciplines. Paul, drink, confides in Jessica and Duncan of his troubling visions of the future. The Reverend Mother, an Imperial Truthsayer, Gaius Helen Moyham, visits Caladan and subjects him to the death alternative Gam Jabbar test to test his humanity and impulse control, which he passes. At a secret meeting on Gaidi Prime, Moheim insists Baron Harkonnen spare Paul and Jessica in his coup, to which he duplicitously agrees. House Harkonnen arrives at Arrakeen, the stronghold of Arrakis. Duncan advanced party has made contact with the Fremen. The natives revere Paul and Jessica immediately, which they do, which is great. Which Jessica explains is due to the Bene Gesserit sowing beliefs on Arrakis centuries earlier. Leto negotiates with Fremen chieftain Stilgar and meets the Imperial judge of the change, Dr. Keynes, a planetologist who lives among the Fremen. Kynes briefs them on the dangers of spice harvesting and the giant sandworms which travel under the desert and make the use of protective Holtzman shields unwise. During a flight, they rescue a stranded spice harvester crew from the sandworm, and the Paul's exposure to the spice triggers intense premonitions. So I'll stop from there. And what I'll basically just bring up in my first question, starting with you, Andre, the pop culture guy, and then going to you, Cyber, would basically be, now, when we get our opening intro, what are your thoughts, start with you, Andres, on just the whole intro, the first, you know, I'd say probably 20% of the film, where we're introduced to Paul, we're introduced to his dynamic with the Lady Jessica, right? That's sort of established. We're introduced to Leto. That's a drink I already mentioned. I think I just mentioned Paul. I just mentioned him again. So, either way, so going beyond that, your thoughts on the scenes on Caladan and the cinematography on Caladan, how it looked in comparison to, like, you know, Arrakis, I guess, you know, if anything, I thought it looked stunning. And then your thoughts on the scene with the grandmother and the scene where, the Spacing Guild navigators and the religious people show up to, like, you know, sign in, basically, right, to Plato to become the ruler of Arrakis, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Then introduction to Vladimir Harkonnen, right? The brief introduction to him with Starsguard playing him. Okay.
Okay.
Basically, going, you know, the introduction of Idaho, right? Meeting Paul, and not everything, but, you know, Paul wanting to be a part of the
initial team.
Gunny Halleck having the sparring with the you know, the Force shields, whatever the fuck they're called. That whole introduction.
Okay, I understand. All right. So hello everyone. How are you guys doing? This is my first time seeing Dune here. I know about this franchise. I mean, I'm aware of the David Lynch one the most, but it's first time seeing this movie, and I gotta say, pretty awesome. I love it. I mean, first, I want to get into the cinematography, as Jeff talked about in the Arrakis planet before they go to Arrakis. Very beautiful. I mean, this was photographed by Greg Fraser, who did The Batman, which was another great film that looked awesome. Greg Fraser did such a good job of visualizing the world of Dune here. And, you know, before we go to Arrakis, it's really neat to see, like, a very familiar planet with, you know, grass and leaves and water before this, you know, desolate planet of, you know, sand, well, spice, if you want to call that. It looked really beautiful. And, you know, and the architecture that the production side did was very unique and, you know, kind of tell you what kind of house they are. Like, it's kind of like, I guess, House of the Dragon, right? Like the Game of Thrones.
Well, universe. The Atreides line goes all the way back to, like, the Roman Empire.
Oh, yeah? Okay. Just fill me up with, you know, these lores, because I'm not familiar with the background stuff, these characters. But yeah, you know, I was, like, already hooked in with these characters. You know, like, they did a good job of connecting me with Paul, this character we're going to follow, you know, here. Oh,
thanks a lot, Andres.
Oh. All right, I need to call him Wonka. That's the if everyone knows, you know, it was Wonka. It's Timothy Chalamet. So Timothy Chalamet's main character P Wonka, right, is very fascinating character.
P Wonka, what the fuck? Why couldn't you just stuck with Wonka? Why'd you have to add P to it?
I mean, I don't want people to confuse, like, you know, like, I don't know, I'm not saying the, you know, the P word, because, you know, it's you know, the character that we know. I'm sorry, folks. I'm trying my best to get around with the name, with Mr. Atreides himself. But anyway.
You just said it right there. That's another drinking word. What the fuck, man?
Anyway. Okay, so Wonka himself, I mean, Timothy Chalamet, great actor. I really got into his character. I think, you know, he doesn't know yet of his destiny, you know. He kind of reminds me a little bit of Luke Skywalker, you know. I know that, you know, this book series kind of influenced Star Wars, you know, with George Lucas when he made this in the 70s. I think, you know, this character that Chalamet has played is very intriguing. You know, he doesn't want to be part of the, you know, the house of, you know, A. But let me say that, you know, the house of A. You know, it's, you know, purpose and, you know, running it. You know, he wants to live his own life, you know, as a lot of young kids do, you know, right? Like, we were young. Yeah, you remember when we always want to grow up, we always want to do something, you know, besides, you know, follow our family's footsteps or whatnot, you know. So, like, I get, you know, Wonka, Wonka's motivation and all that, which is cool. And, I mean, great cast here, you know, seeing Oscar Isaac and Rebecca Ferguson, like, they were really great. And, you know, it's very intriguing about these abilities they have. You know, Rebecca Ferguson is coming from the sisterhood.
The Bene Gesserit, yeah.
the Benedictine. I'm very curious about that, you know, because the you say Jeff, the grandmother, right?
Yeah, they're basically they're an external force that's been for centuries been behind the scenes orchestrating like everything by like, you know, by doing things like sending concubines like Lady Jessica to like be with like that, you know, the Duke, right?
Right.
Like, you know, the Bene Gesserit sent him to her as a concubine.
Right.
Like a whore basically. Right. Almost, you know, like, yeah. And he fell for her.
Yeah.
And they married her. But so like, that's what they do. And what they've been doing is they've been engineering this mixing blood, right? Like bloodlines, whatnot, everything to try to create this perfect being, the quasi cataract or whatever, whatnot. That's the whole deal. But behind the scenes, they kind of run the show.
Yeah.
And they have powers and abilities and shit and whatnot that are beyond human, normal.
Yeah, which we'll see later on. You know, because later in the film, I was going to pick up, you know, you brought up how, you know, because I was a little confused until, you know, Oscar Isaac's character, you know, Wonka's father, say that, you know, he wished that he got marry her. So like that for me confirmed, like, okay, I see what they're, you know, because it was kind of interesting that they're like, I thought they were married, but they were not. So good point with that. It was great to introduce the family, and you know,
they live in like an interstellar feudal society after there was a jihad against all thinking machines. That's why they have these like feudal type titles and whatnot and all that shit.
Yeah, which you see with a lot of like fantasy and you know, sci-fi, you know, films that have like they show you the hierarchy of empires or like the family houses, you know, from like Game of Thrones or like Star Wars with some of the other, you know, stuff there, like. It's very common, and you see that, and then plus the religion aspect of the Dune, you know, is right there, you know, with the whole prophecy and all that. All that was very intriguing in that like section you brought up, Jeff. And then Josh Brolin, I love Josh Brolin; he's a great actor. I don't know if you guys laugh at this, but it was funny when, you know, him and Wonka, you know, Timmy Chalamet, you know, do their training, you know, and I was like, oh, okay. And first off, like, I have a question, and I was going to have a question because I'm not familiar with Dune. The shield thing, is that protecting them? Like,
everyone uses them in combat at this point in time period. They don't use guns that much. They do everything is close combat. To get past the shields, they're like you know, they're force shields that cover the whole body, and so the only way to penetrate them is like with knives and like penetrative like instruments,
or
blades,
because later on we see like when you hit like a dart or like a you know, poison dart, it takes a while for it, you know, it does hit, but they don't use guns, they use swords. I was like, okay, this is
they use explosives. You see, they use explosives and things like that, and whatnot, that just like blow people up and shit like that, and whatnot. But no, they don't use projectile weapons.
Yeah, so that
they fight like in a feudal way, like everything is by the sword and shit, and whatnot. Everything is very like it's very distinct what Frank Herbert did,
which is cool. I like it, I like how they do it because. It's because you get tired sometimes with these gun, like these gun shoots. It's like, oh my god! It's like I don't know which side they're shooting. You know, it's just, it's very refreshing to see that. You know, getting back to the like the you know Lady Jessica, you know, a very fascinating character. I love Rebecca Ferguson, great actress. I think she's really the MVP. I think this movie. I mean,
me too. Me too.
Like, you know, I think her, you know, protecting, you know, Chalamet is really, you know, very noble, but, you know, I'm kind of curious, you know, is she, you know, is loyal to her sisters, right? Or her, like her clan or whatever, whatnot. And, the conversation he has with, you know, the grandma is probably my favorite scene. The fact that she doesn't like the son, because A, it wasn't really it be intentionally. She, you know, it was supposed to be a daughter, right? As she was talking about. And yeah, that sequence was like very cool. And the last day, was the like the stopping point, Jeff, so I can like wrap up at this point.
Basically, going up until the point where we actually have the attack on the House Atreides.
The attack. Okay.
Yeah. So go all the way up to there.
Okay. So the villains. I mean, villains are very creepy. They're like literally from HD Geiger, you know, the artist that created the Xenomorphs for Alien. Like those bad guys like remind me of that. Or Dark City, the aliens in Dark City, like they remind me of those kind of, you know, characters. And the Baron is very creepy. I mean, the fact that he cannot walk,
he uses like suspenders. Yeah,
suspenders. Very cool visual. And and that creepy spire, like as the pet, was weird. And it was funny when the grandma was going to talk to the Baron about keeping, you know, Shame and Lady Jessica, you know, safe. Which, yeah, he doesn't. Yeah, you know, he backstabbed her, keeping them safe. The fact that, yeah, she was able to communicate that creature was like very intriguing, and I wonder if you go somewhere with that. Yeah, I think the villains are very intriguing. I mean, Dave Bautista, who looks menacing in that role as the cousin, right? The nephew for the Baron?
Nephew.
Okay, nephew, right. And I think Dave Bautista is really great casting for the nephew, and he really is intimidating. And yeah, and then, you know, when we get to Dune, you know, it's so grand and,
you know, that's a drink.
Oh my god, I say Dune. Oh no. I feel bad. No. I should just time travel now. Or regenerate like the doctor. Anyway. So, you know, we see the family trying to the adjusting with Dune, which was very intriguing. And seeing all the parts of you know, the planet and all that, and their ecosystem, which is pretty intriguing. And then the attack happened. And I question, do you guys, like, I mean, if you guys didn't know about the book or the previous version, did you guys knew that the doctor was the betrayer?
We're stopping at the attack. So everything before the attack.
All right. Well, overall, this sequence is good. It's a long movie, and it's a lot. So just bear with me, folks. But yeah, overall, I enjoyed this part. It was great to introduce the characters. Dennis Villeneuve, great director. He really excels just giving us these great characters, and I think he did a really good job of adapting this part of the movie.
Sorry, Sharp, sir.
I just want to clap to Andres for making his 60-minute man become 300,000-minute man. So I just want to give a clap.
I know Johnny almost fell asleep there for a minute at one point. I swear I was watching it. I thought I was gonna nod off.
Oh god.
No, wait. No, just checking on my text.
Okay. All right, good, because I'm new to this.
No. No more talking, Andre.
What do you mean you're new? New to what? How many fucking movie reviews have we done together? What, like fucking 70?
We're not new, sir. You've been here over a year. That's not new anymore.
Wait a minute. I don't know about anything about Dune here. So I'm just saying. I'm not saying that, you know, Dune.
You just said it twice. You had to say it. You already did said it twice. Now you just said it again twice. Johnny, you see this shit?
Yeah, he did say Dune again.
That shit,
bastard.
Thank you, Jonathan. See, there's one person that's besides me. We're doctors. We stick together.
Okay, Andre, shut up.
I'm drinking fucking alcohol over here, motherfucker.
All right. So this is pretty much kind of like the first, I would say, quarter of the film. And basically in this section, yes, I agree with everyone. The cinematography in this section is really done well. But through the whole entire film, it is. But especially in this sequence, because there's a lot of angles that they show in certain sequences up to the battle at the Atreides house. Oh, drink. And, you know, there are very many angles that just were really well done captured by the cinematographer. And I think that, you know, Villanova himself, he really knew exactly where he wanted the camera for this. And I think that's what takes him differently from what they did with the original Dune film in 1984, is that, you know, they tried to shove all the information from the one book into one movie. And I like that, you know, Dennis decided to put this into parts so that you could really understand everything. And the beginning of this film really shows how well that worked out, because you're getting all the information in that little section and understanding what's going on. You're understanding what's going on with the spice. You understand what they're trying to do with other humans and other, you know, alien breeds and all this kind of stuff.
Good point, Cyber. Great point.
And you understand these things a lot more than you did in that original Dune from 84. So I was happy that, you know, when Villanova decided to come on to do these, he said that he was going to do it in several parts so that you could understand it better. And by far, that's what made this movie, just this little section of the film, so much superior to that 1984 film. Now, you get, you know, you have a lot of great kind of introductions throughout this section of all the different characters. You definitely, I enjoyed the introduction most. My favorite is the Batista's character and even Skarsgård's character. Both of those two characters, I really, is probably my favorite introductions is to those characters who in the next few films will have a lot bigger part and will be a lot more interesting than they were in this film, I feel. They definitely didn't get enough screen time, so I'm looking forward to seeing more screen time for them, especially part two and part three when they do it.
That's Raban, is Batista's. He's Raban.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that that whole sinister section was really done well, and the color palette was perfect, and everything about the cinematography there was just on point to really get across the evilness of what they're doing. And so this beginning section, like I said, really kind of helps you start introducing you to the characters, but at the same time, it gives you kind of the basis of what the story is. And I think that it was really well written, really well developed and played out. And I mean, when we get up to that battle, you know, at the main character's house, that really starts to really push the film forward. And I really like that, that we get that, you know, kind of action starting to go. So I felt like definitely this first section is probably the slowest of the film, I feel, besides, like, I'd say probably towards the end, about half an hour to towards the end, there's kind of another slow section. But this beginning section is a little slower for me because you're getting all that information out. So very well done section. Enjoyed it, and I think that the introductions were done well, and overall just a really great beginning to this film.
Really, that was a really good point. Good, great job, Cyber. 250 points on that one. Johnny Flint.
So when it comes to the film, I definitely agree. The cinematography was definitely great. All the characters, all the actors definitely studied up on their characters because you can see them easily evolve into them. Batista was really good. Skarsgård, I just loved his
100 points for you on that one, Johnny. 100 points.
His fat suit was amazing. And the fact that you can just see how disturbing he is with all those wires, with his own abilities that he eventually shows, was impressive. And I loved how when it came to these guys, they were shot in black and white. While the other ones, Atreus, Paul and the other ones, their entire culture was shot in color, and you can see the dynamic between the two and about their culture. Drake. I did like how the I forgot what they're called, the sisters,
the Bene Gesserit.
Yeah, the Bene Gesserit and the Reverend Mother. How creepy they were, and how much power you can see that they held, even when they don't show it. I mean, when Paul went to
Johnny, you know, can you believe they can even control their own metaphysics? They can actually control the sex of their own babies and shit like that, whatnot.
I guess, like I said, I haven't read the book, so I don't know much about the lore. But the fact that that these guys were able to show up at Paul's house and nobody else knew about it, that's how much control that they had. And when the Atreus family finally got to Dune, the planet, right, they had to go and basically try to take over while everything else was a farce for the Emperor to basically say, hey, we're going to kill them. So it was definitely interesting. I loved how we got an introduction to the planet and how it was going to build up to when the attack happened as well, especially learning about the sandworms, learning how all this connects with the spice as well.
Johnny, what did you think about the box scene?
I definitely didn't really understand it until a little later when the Bene Gesserit explained it. So it was definitely intense, and you could see that there was something behind this, something that they wanted from this kid who was originally supposed to be a girl that they wanted, but instead, the concubine, what's her name again?
The Lady Jessica.
Lady Jessica brought home a boy for House Atreus instead of a girl.
Now, you heard what Cyber had to say. Would you agree that based off what you know about Dune, they did a great job, a good job assimilating, the viewer into the world of Dune?
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. I think that they did a fantastic job, similar to what Peter Jackson did with Lord of the Rings. They brought you in very slowly so you can get an understanding of this entire world of Dune, what's going on with the Atreus family, with Paul, with Lady Jessica, to getting a better understanding of these characters. Because like the 1984, I have never seen the movie, that version, but from my understanding, it wasn't done well because they tried to fit so much. And with studios try to do that with adaptations of books, it never goes well, or they go their own route. Look at some of the other adaptations that they've tried to do done in the past, and it's never worked. Percy Jackson. What's another adaptation that they rushed? The Seventh Son. Doing other movie books that just didn't do well. The Fifth Wave was another example. It's just never good when they either stray or just try to put in so much stuff into the movie that it makes no sense. Atticus Finch is another one.
Cyber, what did you think of the box scene?
When they put their hand in the box?
Yeah.
It's okay. I don't think it's anything that great.
I thought the actress that portrayed the grandmother was doing a really good job.
I mean, I thought it was a pretty basic scene that, you know, it got the job done. But I didn't think it was anything like, oh, this was the most fucking most greatest scene ever. You know, I definitely thought that it got the point across. You understood what was going on. And overall, it was an okay scene that was included to help you understand, kind of showing that, you know, Atreides is different. Oh, drink.
Well, Cyber, that's actually what the chick that I was with last night said when we got done having sex. She said it was the best thing fucking ever. You know, everything you just said, so. Thank you for mirroring that back to me.
You're welcome.
Anyways. So, the assault on the compound of the House of A. Since I'm doing that shit now, like Andres, to protect myself from drunkenness. The assault, right? Which comes out of nowhere. And essentially, I'm going to go back real quick to Wikipedia and go back down this summary they have here for the plot. And just basically pick up where I was at, which was right at House Atreides arrives at Arrakeen, the fortress stronghold on Arrakis. Duncan's advance party has all that wasn't it. An attempt to assassinate Paul with a hunter seeker fails. That was a good scene. Yui betrays the Atreides drink and disables Arrakeen's shields, allowing the Harkonnens and Sardaukar to invade. He decapitates Leto, planning to exchange him for his wife, who is Baron's prisoner. Yui replaces one of Leto's teeth with the poison gas capsule with which the Duke can assassinate the Baron. After the Baron double-crosses and murders Yui, Leto releases the gas, killing himself and the Baron's mentat, Peter DeFries. But the Baron survives. Though the Baron has arranged to have Paul and Jessica drop deep in the desert to die, a compassionate Yui has left them with a Frem kit with survival supplies. Jessica uses a Bene Gesserit technique called the Voice to overpower and kill the captors. Overnighting in the desert, Paul, surrounded by spice, has visions of a bloody holy war, a jihad fought across the universe in his name. Now, I'll stop there. Going back to the film, we have the assault on the compound, right? All the events that I just described occur. And essentially, you know, we see some really good action, right? We do see some, you know, some of their spacecraft, which I think are really interesting. I really like the shot of the spacecraft on the water planet, you know, where they showed the ship coming out of the water, you know, on Caladan. I thought that was great, but we see a lot of scene to scene shit. We see they do have ground missiles and shit like that and whatnot, and like ground, you know, like artillery kind of and whatnot to like defend themselves. But it's basically like a coup. Some great action scenes with Duncan Idaho fighting the Sardaukar, who are like the best of the best when it comes to like the hand-to-hand combat, right? That's why the Harkonnens brought them in. We see Mr. P and Lady Jessica getting grabbed up, and what I think is a great scene of how they're both able to use the voice, a Bene Gesserit ability, to free themselves. So before we get into after they initially get into the desert and survive, right? I'll go to you, Johnny, since you've got a dip here, in a little bit. I'll let you start off. Fill in all the gaps I didn't put out there. But going up to that, the part where basically we get to the point where they're going to actually, Mr. P and Lady Jessica are going out to look for the Fremen. What are your thoughts on that part of the film?
Honestly, I thought it was a really good part. It showed how powerful House Atreides is, to the point where the Emperor had to bring his own army to help the other house take them down. And just how intricated and unprepared House Atreides was for this attack. I mean, they were caught so off guard that their own men, while formidable, were basically obliterated. Everybody died. There was so much death surrounding them. And the cinematography was beautiful. Just seeing the absolute brightness of the explosions and the darkness, seeing the combat was really good. And the fact that, just like I said, just everything just happening, just showing that, hey, even the main characters can be caught off guard. Like I said, it really added to the film. I thought it was great. And just seeing some of these characters show abilities. I will say that I was kind of disappointed that Oscar Isaac didn't have any fight scenes or anything else. The way he was taken out so fast in the film was kind of disappointing, but I did like at the end how he attempted to kill the Baron, and the fact that the doctor ended up not being able to be with his wife. Well, kind of, he joined her after they slit his throat, was very interesting. But the fact that he almost killed him, and with the next time you see the Baron, he's basically cowering on the roof, was freaking hilarious.
Okay. Cyber.
Well, What was the question against her?
The whole ground assault and the assault on the compound, the A-team's compound, and then everything going up until the point where Lady Jessica and Wonka P actually go out and seek out the Fremen.
Wonka P. Fucking like Audrius.
You like that, God, sir?
Motherfucker. Jesus Christ. I'll give you a walk a pee. I'll walk of your ass. Anyways, so the assault on the compound is really when it really starts to pull me in the most. And this scene was so well constructed, so well choreographed for fighting. It was just so fun. And I remember thinking, sitting there watching the first time and just going, all right, now we're starting to get into some stuff here. Yeah, yeah. And it just starts going on, and them battling back and forth and stuff like that between all the different characters and stuff like that was just so fun. And even during these fight sequences, the cinematographer did a fabulous job just giving us really great shots as they're fighting. And like the shots off the ships and like in the compound itself and stuff like that were just all well. The camera was placed just right. And you could see that, you know, when Villanova was saying where he wanted the camera, you could tell he knew what he was doing. And, you know, I mean, we all have, I think majority of us have seen Blade Runner 2049. And same thing with that film, exact same type of deal. He knew exactly where to put the camera for the action sequences and everything like that. And he did the exact same thing with this Dune and these fight sequences. They were just so well constructed. And that whole scene really got me really riled up and wanting more. And, you know, basically just kicking it. And it was really awesome. And so I really enjoyed that. And, you know, after that, it, you know, kind of had that little small kind of slow section again, you know, leading up to, you know, Wonka and Zendaya, Wonka going out and, you know, doing his thing to look for the certain people. And I thought that, you know, the dragonfly looking ship, that was really interesting.
The Thopter, whoever that, the Thopter, yeah.
Yeah, whatever the hell it's called. I'm calling it the dragonfly because that's what they fucking look like. And, you know, I went and looked up the book to see what they looked like in the book. And it's pretty accurate on point.
It's made off an organic, like, creature.
Yeah.
It's an engine.
So, yeah, so, I mean, that I think is kind of stupid. Myself, I mean, using organics and machinery, I don't think it's going
to
work very
well. I know, it doesn't make any fucking sense. I know, I just wanted to mention
that.
It's like
making, you know, like cyborgs out of humans, you know, unless it's RoboCop and it's pretty much just a head and like a lungs and heart. I mean, really, you know, you're using a whole body. I mean, that's going to decay eventually. So, I mean, let's hope that they came up with some preservation to keep it from rotting away. But still, very, very visually interesting looking. But as soon as they got into that thing, I was just like, how the hell is that going to work? I'm just looking at it going, okay. I mean, I know how a dragonfly works, but at the same time, I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, I don't see how that's going to work with how they made it. But anyways, very visually cool looking, though. I really enjoyed that, especially as they got into it. And but overall, I would say this section of the film, it's very engaging. It's very action-packed. And I really enjoy it that the most out of any of the part of this section. That's what really I enjoyed the most. And I think that was one of my favorite sections of the kind of like the first half of the film.
All right, before we go over to Andres, Johnny needs to go ahead and dip. Johnny, let me plug you out, brother.
Okay.
Hold on, I've got you pulled up on TikTok. There you go, Johnny. Have at it, brother.
All right. So this is my TikTok. I usually post a couple of times or three times a week, but this is all for my show, Fuente Chat with Johnny Fuente, where you can hear it wherever you hear podcasts, whether that be Pandora, Spotify, Apple Music, Stitcher. I am there talking about everything nerd and nerd fandom. So like I said, this upcoming week, I'll be talking about web series and how they have evolved, talking about series such as Red versus Blue, Murder Drones, The Digital Circus, and one of my personal favorites, Dragon Ball Z Abridged. So if you're a big fan of those, definitely tune in to listen on Sunday at 9 a.m. But besides that, thank you guys for having me. I'm sorry that I have to dip after only an hour. I hope to be on the show pretty soon when my schedule clears up.
All right, Johnny. We appreciate you, brother.
All right. See you later, guys. Andreas, was a pleasure meeting you. Always happy to find a fellow Doctor Who fan and Time Lord fan as well. You guys enjoyed learning about House Atreus and Dune. See ya.
All right, brother. Johnny had to slip in that. He had to slip that in. Cyber, you got to give Johnny credit. He did pretty good with that. I like that.
I'm alone now.
What do you mean alone? You're here with me. You're your brothers right here. What are you fucking talking about?
You're talking about
your best friends are right next to you, motherfucker. Son. I'm not your son, bitch. Fuck you. I've got goddamn two children. Your son.
You're my biological.
Again, I'm the only biological male between the three of us that actually has offspring. So really? I'm not your son. Cyber is my son. According to some crackhead fucking hotel dude or whatnot we met in Daytona Beach. But other than that, we have no actual like father son. You know, this isn't Don't Be a Menace. All right. Except for that conversation, you know, with the father and the son, like with the condoms and whatnot, everything, which is the same one I gave with my son. But you know, when he came to me and said he was going to have sex, he was like, "Do you use the condom?" I was like, "You use it good. It takes away all the feeling. See? Bleeding edge style parental advice." So, folks, what? Denial?
Yes.
Get out of here. Get out of the comment section, fucking goddamn it. I can't even say, I can't even use your goddamn titles or I'm going to have to drink. I'm pissed off now. I like that shit. It's not right.
Your blood is the rage.
I'm limited with my fucking ability to fucking talk shit to you now.
Hold on. One more.
Shut up. I don't even care. Get out of here with your bullshit.
Hold on. This is a good one.
Whatever. I don't even care. It's irrelevant. Anyways, so moving on. After conquering Arrakis, Baron Harkonnen appoints his nephew Raban to oversee the planet and orders him to restart spice production to recoup the invasion's cost. Meanwhile, Duncan and Keynes find Jessica and Paul, who discloses his plan to marry one of Emperor Shaddam's daughters to avert a potential civil war arising from the Emperor's betrayal. However, they are discovered by Sardaukar soldiers armed with a laser gun. Duncan sacrifices himself, enabling Paul and Jessica's escape. Great scene. Keynes also tries to escape using feminine tactics, but is caught by the Sardaukar. She lures a sandworm to devour herself and the Sardaukar, sustaining mortal wounds. Deep in the desert, Mr. P. Wonder and Jessica encounters Stilgar's feminine tribe, including Chani, the young woman from Paul's visions. Opposed to Stilgar's lenience towards them, Fremen warrior Jamis challenges Paul to a final duel to death, which Paul wins. Despite Jessica's wishes, Paul joins the Fremen, determined to fulfill his father's goal of allying them to bring peace to Arrakis in the desert, which I thought was really a great scene. So, gentlemen, that portion of the film, I don't think I need to do a scene by scene here on that part. It's we all know what went down. Great scene with Duncan Idaho, right? Great action scene, holding it down to save everybody. I loved the premonitions. I loved how And please speak on this. You know, when I go to you first, Andres, then to you, Cyber. I love the premonitions of how even when, you know, Wonka P pulls up at Arrakis, right? The Fremen people are already believing that he is the Messiah, you know? Like they're already eliciting that he is, right? And I love the scenes with them and the Fremen. Him and Lady Jessica are great. They're great scenes. And that knife fight was great. It really was. Excellent knife fight. And I loved what Wonka P had to say at, as his character wrapping up going into the end of the movie, how he said, our path is in the desert. So, as I said, going to you, Andres. You start off, sir. That final third of the film, your thoughts?
Very good. Spectacular. I mean, first of the action for the attack, it's really spectacular. I mean, it's thrilling. It's suspense. That's where the movie for me really kicks in, and that's where I kind of like really love the film.
I skipped Andres and John Andres. I skipped you, brother. On the last round of questions, I skipped you to let Johnny off. So
that's okay.
Take your time and go ahead and go from the attack. Go ahead.
Yeah. I'm not going to talk too much about the attack, but it's really thrilling. And that's where, like, the plot points makes a lot of sense now. You know, one here and another, the betrayal. That's why, as you guys knew about the Doctor's betrayal, that was shocking. A really great twist. And you feel for the guy. I mean, the fact he explained to, Isaac's character, the father, that, yes. Well, there's another one. But anyway, that his wife is... Join me, Jeff, the dark side. Anyway, he explained to Mr. A that his wife was taken, right? You know, from the Baron, and you feel sorry for the doctor, and I don't know why he thought giving him the cyanide,
poison tooth.
Yeah, the poison tooth. I mean, again. Feel for him, but it's all his fault. He made the father die, so I hate that doctor now. So, but very impressive, and when that moment happened, when Baron, I was not expecting the Baron kill the doctor like that, but it was really cool because it showed the very dark nature of the Baron and his house, right, and how brutal they are as society, right. And I think that scene alone really conveys that. And yeah, I agree with you. Was it when Jonathan was here, he explained how when that poison just released out was crazy. I was like, oh my God. And then he just, because he had the shield, which should the poison kill him? Like no matter what, because we know the shields don't temporarily are like that strong to, I was surprised that the Baron survived from that poison. I was like, okay. But I did laugh when he's like crawling like a baby. I was like, I was like, yeah, you're really a coward, Baron. And then speaking of Duncan, the Jason Momoa character, a great character. I love Jason Momoa. He's a great actor. I mean, he's great as Aquaman. He's funny in Fast X. He's like the best thing about that movie. Here he was really amazing. He really delivered like a very solid, like non-Momoa performance. And I think but because he's had a great director like Dennis here, directing him, I was really sad that he died later on in the film. And I think he was a great addition to that. And of course, I agree with Cyber. Like, I mean, in fact, the ships, the way that they attacked them was so cool. And infiltrating the house, it's like very cinematic. I mean, like it's one of those weird things, like with the MCU and all the CGI. This is like the most polished special effects movie I've seen in a while, since maybe Top Gun Maverick. I that sequence was great. And then and this part is really crucial to see Paul getting like a hone in to his abilities, because you know, first he couldn't like speak.
Drink.
Oh, ah, I was doing good.
Ooh, that stopped.
What are you drinking? May I ask you?
Rum and Coke.
Rum and Coke. Oh God. Saber, what are you drinking? I'm curious. I saw the last Friday that drink you drink. Pineapple alcohol.
Something. I finished all my vodka. So.
Oh yeah.
No, it is Bailey's mint flavored. It tastes like a shamrock shake, but alcoholic version.
Oh really? Oh
yeah. Cool. I mix it with ice cream and make it into a shake.
That's awesome. I'll probably do that next time, or maybe soon in life. So seeing Paul getting Elwin and his abilities was really nice. I mean, did I say his name now? Oh,
yeah, like double again. Yeah, you just did.
This is your fault, Jeff, my son. This is your fault.
How the fuck did I do it? If I'm your son, why would I be involved?
Peer pressure. Anyway, yeah. So seeing his abilities like form a little bit, you know, see his visions more clearly. What's going to happen? The holy war, as they prophesied.
The jihad.
Yeah, the jihad, right? And like that coming into fruition, and then you know, Lady Jessica, you know, trying to help him, you know, get through to this like. You know, like develop the abilities and all that, and the prophecy and all that. But you know, I like how she has her own agenda to try like keep him safe and get out of the planet. You know, before you know he, you know, Wonka himself decided to stay behind and you know build army and all that. What else? The Echo Doctor, that you know that they come to rescue them. You know. It was very intriguing. Like she didn't have a sigh, which was really interesting because the fact that you know she doesn't obey with the Empire or the Emperor.
She was Fremen.
She was Fremen, right? Yeah, because the blue eyes, right? She was Fremen, you know. But it was fascinating that she helped them, right? The fact that she, you know, I mean, because the Fremen doesn't.
She did it for Wonka P, because okay. she believed that he was the one.
Yeah, yeah, which half the Femins are like believers that prophecy, and then there's the other half of the Femins, right? In the film, stated that they don't.
They all believe in the prophecy, but it's just that some of them believe that like Wonka P is too young, and everything. Yeah, whatnot.
Yeah, that was a tricky one. Yeah, one of those other Femins like say that out loud, which I heard when we were watching the movie. Yeah, so then. First off, where's Josh Brolin? Like that was the weird part.
And he's also an outsider too, and the one's not supposed to be in their prophecy, not supposed to be an outsider.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, where's Josh Brolin?
Yeah, because I know he's in part two. I know that part, but it was weird that
they didn't really show what happens to him.
Yeah, I hope we'll see that in the sequel. Whenever I get to see that film,
he's
I mean, if you see the posters of part two, is like
he survives in the book too.
That's cool because I mean, I really like his character, and I was kind of like weird. It was weird that movie didn't, you know, came back to, you know, kind of like nullify us what happened to Josh Brolin's character, you know, and all that. But anyway, we're stopping at the end of the part, right? The ending of the film, or
oh, we'll go all the way to the end, so go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, so the ending, I kind of wish we had something more spectacular. I mean, the ending is very small. I mean, yes, the House of Aid, you know, being attacked was, you know, very spectacular. But maybe something more grandiose could happen with the finale. But overall, I think the finale was good. It helped us get to the point where Wonka himself, you know, now wants to stay and, you know, fulfill this like prophecy that he's been hearing about, right? And take revenge for his dad, right? Because, you know, his dad's now, you know, no longer there. So, so overall, I really enjoyed the film. I think it's a great sci-fi film. I'm not a big fan of the Dune franchise, so this was a good introduction to me with this universe. So I'm excited to hear what you guys think about the third act and the ratings.
Cyber, your thoughts are on that final third of the film?
All right, so when it gets to the point, Wonka makes his way to the desert with the dragonfly ship, this is where it kind of slows down for me and kind of gets boring, until we get to kind of like almost the ending. So you get that, like, he meets Zendaya at this point. You get all that kind of stuff going on. We get introduced to Javier Bardem's character and stuff like that. And that kind of section of the film, like I said, it bored me. But the whole like barren section of the film was probably my favorite part of this section. Basically him eventually killing Leto, him being tried to be killed, but he ends up surviving. All that was really done well, and I really enjoyed that section. And I thought that, you know, leading up to that point, I just felt like a lot of that was kind of just storytelling to kind of get you an idea of where they're going and kind of building up for part two. And so I feel like that section really, you know, cinematography wise was amazing. Like the sand dunes and all that kind of stuff was beautiful, amazing. They did great cinematography, but for the most part, it was kind of just like a steal point for me. But the whole, like, bad guy section of this portion of the film just really ramped me back up and really got me back into the film. And I just want to reiterate that, because, like, the whole sequence, once again, the where they placed the camera in each of those scenes showing what's going on was perfectly placed once again, just like, well, all the action scenes leading up to this point. And that, you know, one of those final battles was just really phenomenal. I really enjoyed it, just all but and all that kind of stuff. The choreography was really done well. But like I said, this last portion where we get to know more about Zendaya and Javier Bardem's character, that just really, I thought they could have shortened it. They could have not made that as long of a section and could have focused a little bit more on more of what was going on with the other characters. And I know everyone says they love Rebecca Ferguson. I prefer her in the Mission Impossibles. I prefer that character more than this character. I just found her very, I don't know, irritating. And like you were saying before, Jeff, you know, very close to how the book was. I don't think even if I knew that, I still think I would find her irritated, because just how she played this character, it just irritated me. It was just too, like, it's like that mom feeling, get off my back, leave me alone type of deal. Like, it just felt that, like, irritating. And, you know, I think that her section, you know, hopefully is not as extensive in the second part as it was in this one.
It will be, Ashley. You'll see more of her.
Oh God. That just makes me look even more forward to it. And so hopefully, you know, maybe she'll do better in this part. Maybe it'll be a little, maybe she'll, the character will alter and change a little bit from what she learned in this first part.
Well, she's going to have a dialogue. They're going to give her the truthsayer drug, that, like, the spice that, like, makes people into the Reverend Mothers in the second part. That's going to cause her child, her unborn child, to also experience the ability to like tap into all the ancestral thoughts of their female descendants. And she's going to start having a dialogue with her own inborn child in the movie. Yes.
Yeah. So that might be interesting. Who knows?
Inborn's my new term for it.
Jesus Christ. It's unborn people, unborn, not inborn. That's not a real word. Anyways, hopefully that will be make her character more interesting in that part. But in this part, I just didn't care for her in this. I thought she was better in Mission Impossible. She just really plays those characters really well, being she just gets on your nerves for me. She just does. She gets on my nerves. She's one of those actresses that gets on my nerves, and I can't stand her.
Well, she's definitely bangable, though. Just to be Blingesh style about it, she's bangable.
She is attractive, yes. Other than that, like, besides that, like, getting to the end section of this film, I agree with Andres that it's not, it could have been more climactic, most definitely, the end section of this film. But at the same time, I understand why they kind of ended it that way, because they were basically splitting it, you know, getting it ready to be a part of that second part so that it could start off right away, the second part. As they have shown it, that I've seen clips of the beginning of the film, and it definitely starts right off where it kind of left off in this part one. So not a bad ending. It was very enjoyable. Like I said, there was a little bit that I felt could have been edited a little bit to make it a little more better and not as boring. But other than that, I thought that the ending was very well done. It was a very interesting ending, and it made me definitely want to see the second part. So I think that they did a really good job with this section of the film.
Well, that's good, because we're reviewing it next month. All right, so ratings.
Only a fucking month and a half later.
That's right. I'm sorry. Ratings. I'm going to drop a 9 on this one. Andre's pop culture guy.
9.5 out of 10.
Okay, Cyber.
I'd give it a 10. It was a very solid, great movie. And overall, even with the little things that were I didn't care for too much, it wasn't enough to overshadow the overall great picture of the film. Solid 10.
Any final thoughts, Andrea, Cyber?
Excellent film. If you haven't seen it, highly recommend watching it on HBO Max or pick it up from your physical media store. Really well done. I mean, like I said, this movie is so far superior to that 1984 Dune with Kyle MacLachlan. I mean, that original from 84 had a great cast. Don't get me wrong. It had a really great cast. I mean, it had Sting in it. And overall, it had a lot of great potential, that first film, and the special effects were done really well. But this one just was far superior, especially for its special effects and just how well Dennis did at bringing that book to life and giving us a more clearer picture so that we could understand it better. And like I said, splitting it up into three different films was the best idea they could have done, because this is really showing what Frank Herbert wanted to show.
They're going to do Children of Dune or Dune Messiah with the third film. Yeah.
Yeah. So really well done.
Andres, final thoughts.
As I said before, I'm not familiar with this Dune franchise. I was very, skeptical going in watching this 2020 film. Because I saw you guys you were going to do part two.
21.
21, thank you. Thank you. You guys were going to do the part two, but then schedule changed, and I was like, let me see. And I fairly enjoy it. I mean, first off, the director, Denis DeVille, a great director of our time. I mean, if you haven't seen the films, oh God. anyway, keep going. Anyway, great director who done Prisoners, who done, oh God, now I'm
blanking. Billy Mayhew.
Yeah, Rival. Yeah, that's right. Rival and Blade Runner 2049, right? He's an amazing director, has done consistent work. Sicario. Great film, one of my favorites from his filmography.
Good call. That's, you get 250 points on that one, Andres.
Yes. Yeah, I couldn't. I remember that movie. I was like, oh God, he directed that. It's amazing film. I love it. I fairly enjoyed this film. It was great. One of the best sci-fi films I said before. Cinematography is great. Actors are great. I love Javier Bardem. He's an amazing actor. Zendaya, what else you want to say? I was shocked that she was little, and she was so barely in the film. I was like, oh, whatever. But
thank God.
Yeah, well, thank God. Anyway, my last note, my friend, Chris, he's a huge crush on Zendaya, and she always bugged me that we're going to see.
You're going to see a lot of Zendaya in the second film too.
Yeah, and that's the part he's so excited about, the part two. So I'm very curious. We're going to do
Zendaya's a woke asshole.
Hey, you know what? Thank goodness my lady, Florence Pugh, is in the film, so I will be.
Excuse me. Andres, pop culture multi-named fungus. You would have a chance with Florence Pugh if it was we were the last fucking people.
I watched Oppenheimer on the plane on my way down, and she looks so good nude. I'm telling you. And I didn't even realize that other actor in Oppenheimer, the other actress, is what's her name?
Emily Blunt. Yeah.
Right?
We had that discussion.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. I mean.
And you call yourself my bro, Jeff. You call yourself my bro.
Will you Jesus stop? Christ. Come on. Look, I mean.
No, not come on. You should know this.
Well, look, I'm very intoxicated right now. So, you know. Like more intoxicated than normal.
No pass.
All right, that's okay. I'm fine with that. That's fine. No problem. Let's do plugs so I can plug my new She-Hulk spa massage. Did you like that? Like, Andres, you didn't see that.
No, don't tell me. Let's move on.
Let's move on.
Let's get out of here. Come on, it's Friday. Friday.
You always want to move on, man.
He is putting it up no matter what you say, Andres. Okay, so just let him do it.
All right, fine. But here we go. Still.
It's worth it, I promise. It's worth it.
All right. I'm hearing you.
All right, True Knowledge is over here telling you this, so it's worth it, I promise. Anyways, so... As far as plugs goes, before I pull everybody up and whatnot and everything, let me start off with Mr. Cybernetic Shark, sir, who I believe you hit 751 today.
I've been at 751 for the last couple days.
There you are, sir.
All right, folks, if you haven't seen my channel, if you enjoy me here on the podcast, or if you enjoy me as the moderator on this podcast, definitely go check out my solo content, people. Check out my most recent release, Knuckles Trailer Reaction, yo. It is up. It is on. It is there. You should check it out. It's really fun. It's really awesome. So definitely check it out. As Jeff mentioned, up to 751. Thank you very much for everyone that has joined. Let's keep on trucking. Let's get to that 1,000 magic mark. I just put up a couple shorts as well in the last couple days as well. One for Robin Hood, Men in Tights, and also Dune Part 1 as well, because I hadn't done that one, which I was really surprised when I looked up. I'm like, holy crap, I hadn't done one. So I did one of those today. And, of course, Spaceman, if you haven't seen that yet on Netflix, definitely check out my mini review of that as well. Like I said, I'll be having my Madam Web review up soon and some more trailer reactions coming up, especially for the new Strangers film that is starting a new trilogy that they're bringing out all three this year. And be looking for more of that. Eventually, we'll have a full-on Spaceman review for you guys, too, as well. So keep an eye out for that. And thank you for subscribing. And like I said, if you haven't subscribed, definitely hit that subscribe button. Also, if you're a fan of getting to see bloopers and all that kind of stuff, check out my Patreon page. It's awesome.
There you go. And my plug. There you go, Andres. Go to the set. We've got free gift certificates to give out to the Savage She-Hulk Massage and Spa. All right, Andres, you can be the first. I'll give you your first free certificate for you. So you can go get savaged by She-Hulk.
That's strange.
Oh, you like that, sir?
Nope.
Yes, you do. Shut up. Don't even play. You know that shit's funny as fuck.
No, I was tricking you so I can let your hope down. Anyway, hello.
Shut up. Fuck you.
Anyway. Hey, hello, everyone. This is Andreas, Pop Culture Guy. This is the channel, Pop Culture Guy Channel for Sense. I'm up to still 903 subscribers still. But I want to thank you guys for supporting me in cyber. Please help us reach the mark for 2024. Just recently post the last part of Pop Four Girls Super Smash Up Part 5. Check it out. And tonight, I'm going to post my top ranking James Bond, Daniel Craig film. So check that out later tonight. I'm going to just finish it and I'm just going to post it a little bit. Don't listen to Cyber. Anyway, but yeah, thank you guys.
There you go, folks. And I'm going to be on Sunday, I'll be over on his Pop Culture Guys channel.
Yes.
Reviewing Jim Carrey's Ace Ventura.
Pet Detective, folks. Please, I totally forgot about that. I was like, oh yeah, something's going to happen Sunday. So yes, we're going to do that. Me, Jeff, this is going to be awesome. If you love Jim Carrey, it's one of the best Jim Carrey films.
And on Monday, since she was putting a report, I'm going to rate my top 10 asses I saw on the beach today.
When I was on the beach.
But no, folks, next week, we actually have a guest on MCU's Bleach Report. That's for once. We have Matthew Carroll coming on,
yes,
to guest us with us to do the Rick and Michonne episode 3. Next Wednesday, we're gonna have a great show. Shogun episode 3. We're gonna have 3 kick-ass females, all new to the show. It's gonna be a six person show. I'll be moderating 5 people on the panel with 3 chicks, 3 dope ass chicks. And then, of course, next Friday's movie review is, I don't even know what it is. So there you go. It's that movie.
There you go, people. That movie.
Could be Deja Vu. Probably is. Don't know.
Schedule, I think it is Deja Vu.
I'm pretty sure it's Deja Vu. So either way, I hope you all enjoyed our review of Dune 2021. I think it was a 10 out of 10. I do personally. And we love all of you out there. Thank you for supporting the MCU's Bleeding Edge. Please like, subscribe, consider subscribing. Ring the bell. Be notified when we go live Monday nights, Wednesday nights, and Friday nights. And we will see you in the next one. Peace. We out.
Ayo, Jay, can we get some Ratchet one time?
Look, I don't want to talk. How you try and press the kid and really you was soft. All you know is capping, homie, you don't know the law. Pedal to the metal, you ain't catching me in park. I just hit the stop. I don't